How you doing? 8 o'clock on a Tuesday, an actual Tuesday. Everything will start to ramp up tomorrow for the Kansas City Chiefs as everybody will start to speak to the media about the game of the year that I cannot wait for. I've already got knots in my stomach. My friends are divided. I don't know if they can win this game. Oh, they're going
to
win this game.
So you have people saying that too. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to bring this up. I didn't know if I was taking crazy pills or if people felt this way.
No, go ahead.
I mean, good. I'm glad to hear it from you because I had someone, one of the guys at the J yesterday, come up to me, and I'll not say who, just for, because I don't want to rat them out, if you will. But they told me, they said, look, if we lose this game to Buffalo, I'm going to be okay with it because it's Josh Allen and it's his time.
Oh,
and I'm
stop like, stop that energy.
That's what I thought too. I'm like, that's kind of a defeatist attitude. But you said you have friends that are split on this. Mm-hmm. Like, honest to God,
yeah.
If you're a Chiefs fan and you're feeling like, I don't know if they can win this game on Sunday, the hell have you been watching for the last 7 years?
Yeah, I mean, this game's at home. You have the track record, obviously, in the past of the playoffs, and your record shows 3-0 versus the Bills. Now, to be fair, two of those times they've beaten the Bills in the playoffs, they've lost the next game, right? You win the 13-second game, you lose in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
You beat them in the AFC Championship game, you then lost to Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then last year you beat them on the road, ended up doing the rest of his history. You beat Baltimore and you ended up winning the Super Bowl against San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had people over last night watching the National Championship game and a couple of the buddies. One guy was, indecisive. He was like, I mean, just get me to Sunday. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I believe the Chiefs will win this game. I truly do believe that with all my heart. Just because of who they are, how prepared they can be. And, it's Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen. The other side is very good.
Yeah.
The other side is proven to be very good in these situations. But, one guy was just like, man, I don't think it's going to be good for us. It just seems like Buffalo's year. 15-2?
Yeah, like what tells you that? Because of the game that the Chiefs lost to Buffalo, but we lose to them every year in the regular season. I don't think that game has anything to do with what's going to take place on Sunday. And you kind of brought it up with Dana about the offense a little bit. They do shrink it down in the postseason. They go with what works. They go with the players they can rely on. And that's how you win games in the playoffs. I mean, you're not going to all of a sudden start mixing in, something that wasn't there all regular season long and try to do something crazy. You're going to use the guys that got you there, Kelce and Worthy and Hunt and Pacheco and, Chris Jones on the defensive side and whatnot. But, I don't want to hear that defeatist attitude this week around town that, I don't know, it could be the Bills' year. And if they don't win, Josh Allen deserved it and all that kind of stuff. Don't set yourself up for failure. You have to go in with the expectation of winning this football game. And I know they're going in with the expectation of winning this football game and taking care of business and getting down to New Orleans and having themselves a time at the Super Bowl and going for 3 in a row. And that should be the attitude of us. Like, everybody walking into that stadium on Sunday should feel great about where this team is and know you're walking into a party that's getting ready to begin in 3 hours to do something that's never been done before in the National Football League. And that's go to 3 straight Super Bowls and potentially win 3 straight Super Bowls. And so I was kind of taken aback by that yesterday, a little shocked by that. But it's interesting to hear that there are other people that have this kind of, I don't want to say nervous feeling, but defeatist feeling more so than anything. Because if you're a Chiefs fan, you have to have the expectation of winning. No more of worrying about the Lynn Elliotts of the past and all this kind of stuff. All that crap's over, man.
I will say something can give you, if you're a little bit confused, and Mac, I don't know how much you remember about the injuries on Buffalo's side. I think Milano might have been out in the first matchup.
Yep.
He's always out when we play them.
Who else?
Not this week. Keon Coleman.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But again, in that Buffalo game, there was no Charles Omenihu.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Isaiah Pacheco.
Correct.
There was no Hollywood Brown.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then who was the other one that didn't play?
Joe Tooney wasn't at left tackle.
Joe Tooney wasn't at left tackle.
Yeah, he was not at left tackle that day.
And, if you want to give the same energy that we gave earlier about Ohio State when they lost to Michigan, then they went on this, blaze tour to the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
The last time the Chiefs really lost was to Buffalo.
That's right.
Yep. And, Allen had his little touchdown run at the end of the game, ended up losing 30-21. It's one of two scores that are in red because the Chiefs lost. But
it's the only game they lost with their starters.
Since then, Mahomes has been damn near perfect. Mm-hmm. Hasn't thrown an interception. Chiefs haven't turned the ball over since week 11.
They have not turned the ball over. There have been 280 turnovers since the Buffalo game. The Chiefs have none of them. That's sick.
And they didn't have the playbook that they've had these last couple of weeks, especially when they really started to kind of like dive into what they want to do in those three games in 11 days. Again, you had players that didn't play in that Buffalo game before. You played on the road in a meaningless game because you still got the number one seed. They've got to come here, and they have, Josh Allen and McDermott, they have that cloud, that stink, where it's like, you have to win this game or everybody is going to turn against you until you can ever do it again, and you may never have another opportunity again, because so far only one team's shown that they can get to the AFC Championship game every year, and that's the Chiefs.
Yeah, and that's the feeling that Kansas City should have. Buffalo should be the ones going, God, are we ever going to get over this hump? And I don't think they should have a defeatist attitude coming in here. They should just have the attitude of, like, is it ever going to happen? Are we ever going to be able to do this? And I think, you know, here in Kansas City, if you're thinking like, oh, if we lose, it's a Josh Allen, and it's not that big. No, it is a big deal. This is the difference maker, right? Like, if Patrick Mahomes wins this game, he now becomes number two on the all-time playoff wins list for quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, trailing only Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And then he'll start his fifth Super Bowl, passing Joe Montana for the number of Super Bowls started by a quarterback. Like, this is a big, big, big legacy game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's why I have all the confidence in the world that they're going to go out there and play their best damn football that we've seen and win this game, because they do know what's on at stake. The only thing that does concern me about this game is that if we constantly hear about the referees all week, right? Are they going to try to overcompensate in the game on Sunday to show the rest of the world that the referees are not on the take from Taylor Swift, Caitlin Clark, and the Chiefs, like, you know, the free world wants to believe? That's my only concern, is that the NFL and the referees either swallow the whistle or go over and above to call the Chiefs for penalties in this game because they're trying to show the rest of the world that they just don't call penalties for the Chiefs. And that's something that you can't control. You can't think about that if you're the Chiefs. You just got to go out there and play your best football. And if you play like you did against the Houston Texans and hold that offense to 12 points, you're going to win the football game.
The other thing that we missed, that if you have the sound already, there was no Jalen Watson in that game as well. Yes, so he'll be back in this game. Do you want to know what Travis Kelce's numbers were in that Buffalo game?
Okay.
2 catches, 8 yards.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
So when people were like, yeah, well, they didn't have their best game because, and there's other people that'll say, like, you really think they kept their playbook evergreen? Why expose anything in week 11? Right? Like,
you don't.
Right? Like, you didn't have Travis Kelce in full effect. Now, again, there was no Milano. We had, Danny Hughes talking earlier about they could be in a nickel defense and they're going to have a strong guy and a fast guy to try to bracket Travis Kelce. Let the next guy show up. Somebody asked, was D-Hop in that game? Yeah, he was your second leading receiver. He had 3 for 29. That was the Noah Gray game where he had 2 touchdowns. And again, they gave up that run on fourth down at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. They stop him there. They don't score that touchdown. You take 7 points off the board, maybe you win that game and you've locked up the one seed by week 11. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I also do believe that in this game, and I think the Texans alluded to this too, there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen. Josh Allen's been great all year, but this is his biggest game of his career. Mm-hmm. Let's see if Superman shows up or if Clark Kent shows up.
But I think also, too, there's more on the line for Patrick Mahomes than there is for Josh Allen. And that three-peat, and I've been saying it all year, since they won a year ago, the goal is to win 3 in a row and to cement their legacy. Like Patrick Mahomes, as we know, is very calculated, knows everything that's going on, knows what everybody's saying, knows where he stands in history. This is something he can do that can separate him from every other quarterback that has ever played this game. And I feel like I'm getting emotional about it. Like, I want to start crying and choked up to think about what we're living in right now. Like, what we're living in right now, Patrick Mahomes has so much at stake for his legacy. That's why they're going to win this football game.
I can't wait. I think this is one of those games, we can talk about it more tomorrow, but this is, I think, why you love sports. Because you have no idea. Like, last week, I think we all knew, like, Houston didn't stand a chance. I think we were all kind of on that same side of the fence where we're like, they're the better team, clearly. Mm-hmm. This is the next best team to play the Chiefs in the AFC. Like, it was always Buffalo. It was never Baltimore. I believe that. I think Baltimore's good, but it was never Baltimore. It was always Buffalo. Kansas City knew they were going to do what they could and do everything they can to get to the situation, going 15-2. Buffalo did the same thing. We got to play damn near perfect as well. If we want a chance to have this game, it just so happens they didn't get what they wanted. They would want this game at Aramark Stadium.
Sure.
In fact, it's going to be at the other stadium. It's going to be in Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, so. and that's the thing. You're coming here. You know, the Buffalo Bills haven't played here. They should be the ones with concern, not the Kansas City Chiefs, not our fans. This should be a week of celebrating. This should be a week of fun. This should be a week to get ready to see what will be when the Chiefs win on Sunday. It will be the greatest victory in the history of Arrowhead Stadium. When they win that game and hoist the Lamar Hunt Trophy on Andy's Acre at the 39th parallel, as Mitch always says, when they hoist that Lamar Hunt Trophy for the founder of this franchise on the field in the stadium that he created to go to their third straight Super Bowl, damn, I am getting emotional about that, man, because that's something that we've never, ever, ever, ever seen before, and it's going to be one of the coolest things ever.
Another name popped up on the text saying that they were missing Harrison Butker. So there was no Omenihue, no Isaiah Pacheco, no Hollywood Brown, Joe Tooney wasn't playing left tackle, no Jalen Watson, and no Harrison Butker.
Completely different team.
Yes! Damn near half your roster.
Completely different team.
Whew. Let Carl Loftus go out there and get three more sacks. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side. Some more audio to keep you angry at trying what Dana Hughes said, steal our joy, steal our run, steal our time in the media or time in the sports. And also there was a new hire yesterday and one soon to be today. We'll explain what that means for the other team that they lost these guys from here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. 2020, loss. 2021, loss. 2023, loss. 2024, question mark. According to NFL on CBS, no quarterback has ever beaten another quarterback four straight times in the playoffs.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that has never been done until Patrick Mahomes arrived on planet Earth.
Which maybe I'm concerned by this, but that's not necessarily four straight times. Wouldn't that be like four consecutive years?
No, four means? Straight matchups in the okay. playoffs. Yeah.
Because 2020, 2021, gap, 23, 24.
Yeah. Four straight postseason matchups. Yeah.
Okay. Well, time to rewrite the history books.
Well, that's what's going to happen on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. About 9 o'clock on Sunday night, Central Time, you're going to hear a lot of printing presses in New York City in the NFL offices changing a lot of records.
Mm.
And they're all going to be like removing the New England Patriots, removing the San Francisco 49ers, removing Joe Montana, and replacing that with the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And I know we don't want to kill trees, but tough.
Yeah, because if he does beat Josh Allen on Sunday, he will then have more wins in the playoffs
right.
than Joe Montana. Be second all time.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Reid would then be three wins behind Bill Belichick. And they would have 17 wins on the season.
What's more impressive, Andy Reid's number or Patrick Mahomes' number? I think it's Patrick Mahomes' number, right?
Age, it's yeah. Mahomes. Yeah, it's 29 years old, and he's just 16-3 in
yeah.
the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we may never see anything like this again, you know.
He did his fourth Super Bowl before he's 30. Yeah. Brady didn't do that till he was 37.
That's right. Remember, Brady went 10 years yes. without sniffing the Super Bowl. It's or without nice. Sniffing a Super Bowl win, I should say.
Super Bowl win, yeah. Well, sniffed two losses to your Giants.
Yes, he did.
If the Chiefs are going to win, this guy is going to be real pissed.
And I've had enough with Kelsey. I've had enough with the girlfriend. And now I got Caitlin Clark in the mix. Who, by the way, I saw Caitlin Clark play, 50 games in college basketball the last 2 years? Parts of it. I never heard one reference. I never saw her father with a Chief jersey on. I never saw her with a Chief hat on. I heard not one reference in 50 games that she was a Chief fan, and then all of a sudden now she's, well, I was a big Kansas City fan. Oh, come on, stop, please. I mean, I understand you want to be a fan because they win, but that was tough to tell. I am so Chiefed out, it's ridiculous. And, you know, ESPN, they're going to be as guilty as everybody else. They're going to show you, you know, Swift and her in that freaking press box until the cows come home. When Taylor Swift's Bob Dylan, come back and talk to me. Come back and talk to me. When she has that sort of impact, not for the 18-year-old girls like my daughter. Come back. You can use Swifties, you can say anything you want. Come back and talk to me. When you change music, come back and talk to me. That's number one. Boy, I'm sick of Kansas City.
Can you just cut that part? So The Bob Dylan stuff to me is like, what are we comparing here? Because I guarantee you
music
that Taylor Swift has played in front of more people than Bob Dylan ever has.
Well, yeah, I mean, times evolve.
Right. But I mean, like, so, but like, that's like saying, you know, Trent Green or Alex Smith is the same as Patrick Mahomes and using that kind of comparison. It just doesn't hold water. Taylor Swift is above everybody else. Bob Dylan is more of a niche musician than he is a mainstream musician.
I would say it's more so if you were to be like, yeah, he's no Terry Bradshaw, Patrick Mahomes. Come to me when he's got those many rings of Terry Bradshaw. It's like,
well, you can't
times
do
are
that
different
anymore.
Because he's playing more talent, so he's technically, in my opinion, better. He's got more postseason yes. wins. Yeah, it just gives you the whole, whenever I hear him talk, I just hear.
But like you're taking shots at Taylor Swift. You're taking shots at Caitlin Clark. Last time I watched a college basketball game, which is very few and far between, I don't remember the announcers.
Not
it's a terrible
good slate
product.
Tonight
I mean, it's a terrible product.
Not
college basketball is
tonight.
A bad product. They are rolling out a very bad product out there. It's not worth watching. Mm-hmm. But last time I sat down and watched a game, I think it was, I think Towson played like Delaware State the other day on CBS Sportsnet, and I was dialed in. I don't remember those announcers talking about what teams every player on the court was a fan of or working that into the narrative. Mm-hmm. But I do remember seeing Caitlin Clark as a kid wearing Chiefs stuff, talking about the Chiefs in interviews, being on the Kelsey podcast, you know, last year or so, talking about the Chiefs.
When her dad goes to watch her play basketball, he's supposed to wear a Chiefs shirt or a Chiefs hat, not a Iowa
women's
you don't
game.
Wear, you don't wear your daughter's gear to yeah. the game. You wear the gear of right. the NFL team that you're loosely affiliated with. Right?
She should wear a Chiefs hat after the game, not an Iowa hat.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Or what's she on now? The Fever.
Yes.
Right?
The Fever. Yeah. Yes.
Fever. The only cure is cowbell. Right. So she's on the Indiana Fever. If you're Caitlin Clark's parents, and I know this from being a dad, I'm rolling with my daughter's stuff on. They support the team. Right. Not showing up to an Indiana Fever, Chicago filling the blank of the name team here, and going out there and wearing Chiefs gear to that game. It's like showing up to, you know, a Chiefs game against the Texans wearing a Buccaneers jersey. Like, people are stupid who do stuff like that. Oh, I'm sorry, Mac, that was your friend. But what does Mad Dog want to prove that Caitlin Clark was a Chiefs fan? And even if she did jump on the bandwagon recently, so what? Why does that bother you so much? Again, if you don't like it, simply pop a gummy, turn the TV off, and watch Newhart.
Which is normally what he does.
Or I'm sick of Kansas City.
Ugh. I'm all cheaped out. Like I said, the guy needs a Werther's original. He needs to sit back and just.
But nobody's willing to take it away from us. That's the thing. People have had opportunities and they've all failed.
Yeah. Well, if you're tired of watching the Chiefs, explain that to the ratings that we got on Saturday. Most watched NFL game ever
on ESPN.
Yeah. Insane.
30s. The network he works for.
That's right.
Yeah.
Their highest rated NFL
37
game
million?
Ever.
Yeah.
Since 1987, ESPN has been televising football games.
That's when I was born. 37 years.
They had their highest rated game ever. And yet they're trying to peddle that the ratings were low this weekend. Yeah, the ratings were low in the second game because you had a franchise, Washington, that basically for a generation and a half didn't have a fan base because they were so bad and just despicable and embarrassing to look at. And the Lions, which replaced the Packers and 49ers from a year ago, which have universal fan bases that people watch for. Like, the way that they're portraying these ratings, again, is clickbait, it's lies, it's deceit, it's misinformation, it's fake news.
Speaking of news, there was some news made yesterday. One of two dominoes that were going to fall this week that I called yesterday that since Detroit lost, both their coordinators would find new homes by the end of the week.
Have the Jets hired their guy?
Not yet. They said that they don't plan on letting him leave New York.
Isn't that kind of illegal, though? Like, what if the man wants to go home?
Well, I mean, Clark didn't let Andy leave Kansas City, so thank God he
Clark just didn't leave Philly.
Yeah, he's like, you're not going to Arizona, buddy. Let me tell you something here, Andy.
Clark did what the airlines do, pull over to the tarmac and make you sit for hours.
That's what Clark Hunt needs to do. He needs to hire Jay Binkley as like a statistician when he brings in people and be like, let me tell you something here about Arrowhead in the wintertime. You know, Derek Carr is 5-37 when the temperature is below 40. All right, I'm in. I don't know who this guy is, but he's got me sold. But Ben Johnson gets hired by the Bears. You don't like this hire.
I'm not a fan of this hire at all because we've seen so many coordinators come and go, come and go, come and go. I think Chicago needed a head coach that has credibility, that's been a head coach that you know is going to go in there and win. And I thought Mike McCarthy or even Pete Carroll would have been a good choice for Chicago because I think they have an image. And I think this hire by Chicago is the same hire they've made how many hiring cycles in a row right now, from Eberflus to hotshot defensive coordinator, even Matt Nagy before that. Who did he take over for? He took over for that guy who wore the eyeliner that coached in Canada. Yeah, John Fox was in there for a hot minute. Like, this just seems like a typical Chicago Bears hire that without ownership changing and giving them the resources and allowing them to operate like a real franchise, this is a team that I think is going to be hiring a coach before Andy Reid even steps away.
I love the hire because I think the way that the NFL has started to evolve, it is these sort of younger guys that have an offensive game plan. Now, look, I thought Vrabel was the right hire in New England. And maybe that, mm-hmm. Maybe defaults my take here on Ben Johnson. But Ben Johnson was the name in the offseason. Chicago needed the guy. They went and got Ben Johnson, who's turned down other opportunities before. He wanted to wait till he got the perfect job. Caleb Williams is going to be, according to what we think and where he was drafted, number one overall and everything like that, a rising star in this league. I think we saw enough talent. He got a lot of sacks this year. They'll patch up that offensive line, but they've got an offensive system around him. They went and drafted Romo Dunze. They have DJ Moore. They have
Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen's DeAndre on the outside Swift. As well. Swift's a running back who came from that Detroit system, if we don't remember that, who was under Ben Johnson. So I think that they can try to take that offense in Detroit, which is loaded with superstars as well. You have James Williams, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, who had one of the sickest catches I've ever seen in playoffs before my eyes. But I like this because this is where the NFL is going. Not everybody has Andy Reid. Not everybody has Mike Tomlin or the Harbaughs of the world that have been long tenured coaches. Mm-hmm. But the way that we've seen the trend in the NFL lately is that the offense is expanding and you need some sort of, like, I don't want to say like a nerd, but a guy that if he can get a quarterback, they can get on the same page and they can be kind of relatable, it works. I don't think McCarthy would have worked in Chicago with Caleb Williams. I don't think that Pete Carroll, who's been out of the game for a couple years, would have worked in Chicago for Caleb Williams. Now, this also is a big look on Caleb Williams. Like, if you can't make it work with Ben Johnson, who's supposed to come in there and make it work with you, then we need to sit down and have a real conversation. But you look at the way the NFL has evolved, like I've said, McVay comes from Washington, LaFleur, Shanahan, O'Connell, all these guys that were coordinators, Dan Campbell, they all kind of come from that, and then they get their opportunity. You don't know if it's going to work unless you actually get the proof to see it and put them in a good situation. I think this is a good situation for Ben Johnson because if, in fact, he does go out there and win 9-10 games next year, he's got that leash to get longer and longer and make Chicago more believable. And I bet if you polled, 100,000 Chicago Bears fans, I bet 75% to 80% of them would be like, love the hire. I feel like some would probably be like, I have no opinion of this yet because I don't know what he can do as a head coach. And there might be like 10% of people that be like, yeah, I don't like it. I wanted a Vrabel. I wanted a McCarthy.
Yeah,
I wanted that proven brass tacks,
yeah.
Right?
And I think when you're the Bears, like that's who they needed. They needed a guy that had a proven track record before because this organization, really since Mike Ditka, has been stuck in neutral. And the reason it's stuck in neutral is because of ownership. And if ownership is going to change, great, man. Like when David Glass opened the purse up here and we were able to go out and get Sobrist and Cueto and sign Kendrys Morales and ownership evolved. Great. Look how ownership changed here in Kansas City. Clark Hunt changed the way he owned the team mm-hmm. when he brought in Andy Reid. Now, does he change what he's doing if Andy Reid's not the guy? Maybe not. Maybe not. But like Ben Johnson, I don't know. I just feel like he falls into another realm of when I hear these guys hyped up by these insiders, I wonder, who's feeding them the information? Where are they getting it from? How do we know that Ben Johnson is a good CEO of the team? He may be a good offensive coordinator. He may be a good offensive coach, but I don't need an offensive coach. I need a CEO of an organization that will hire the right people, delegate, and get the job done. I don't know if Ben Johnson is that guy or not.
How do you know?
You'll find out real fast. I mean, you really will.
I'm saying
yeah.
for the higher, yeah, of course. Because, we'll know soon, but how do you know? Because you never know. You didn't know about Andy Reid. You don't know about Matt Nagy. I mean, name a guy, you don't know.
Yeah, but I think you know when you sit down with them in an interview whether or not they can command the room, whether they can be the leader, can they compartmentalize? Because when you become the head coach, it's not about X's and O's. It's how you manage people. It's how you run the organization. Ask Andy Reid. He coaches his coaches, right?
Yep.
You're constantly delegating and empowering people and allowing them to do things. That's the number one thing that I think head coaches that fail in the NFL fail at is empowering others. Andy Reid has empowered everybody on his coaching staff, and look what it's done. It's produced one of the most fruitful coaching trees out there. Andy Reid wins here. He develops coaches. They go on to other organizations. They have successes and things like that. I think for a lot of these like offensive coordinators, these young guys, they don't have the self-esteem quite yet, you know, to be like an Andy Reid, obviously, and they don't want to empower guys. I watched it with Todd Haley with my own eyes, and I watched it every day but it's a good example of how you don't do things. How you don't do things. And you learn more from people who fail than you do from people that have success. And watching Todd Haley never become that mentor as a head coach, never delegate, never become somebody who empowered others. That's a big problem, because being a head coach in the NFL is not like being an offensive coordinator in the NFL. There are so many other things that are on your plate. You have to have the right people on your staff. You have to empower them and you have to trust them. And if you can't do that as a head coach, you are going to fail.
I mean, we haven't gotten to see it yet. And I also question what Detroit's going to do in the future, because they lose their offensive coordinator and their defense coordinator. Right? What's that going to say for Dan Campbell? Like, who's he going to bring in? Have we seen Dan Campbell without having those coaches on his roster?
It's a fair point.
Right?
Yeah.
We talk about windows opening and closing, but you look at these young coaches that have had chances and have completely revamped their system. Shanahan changed San Francisco. LaFleur got Green Bay back to being a team. Kevin O'Connell went 14 wins with Sam Darnold. Hell, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl with got a playoff appearance with and a win with Trevor Lawrence, coordinator as well. I think that's the way it is in the NFL. It's like, you don't know until you know. And I don't know if Ben Johnson is going to fail or if he's going to succeed, but judging by what he's done in Detroit and how that whole system worked, I would assume that there was a lot of trust given to him from Dan Campbell, which I think the biggest question, not Ben Johnson going to Chicago, is Dan Campbell losing his, you know, guys that call the plays and do all that sort of stuff. Yeah, interesting.
There are some guys who are just great coordinators, and there's nothing wrong with being a great coordinator. Exactly.
Yeah.
Steve Spagnuolo was a great coordinator in the NFL. And until he got to New England, And until he got to New England, Bill Belichick was a great defensive coordinator, but couldn't hack it as the head coach, and then got into a situation where ownership was on his side. Ownership empowered him. Ownership allowed him to do things.
And he got the greatest quarterback.
And he got the greatest quarterback of all time. And they became a really, really good franchise.
Sounds a lot like Andy Reid.
But Andy Reid basically won from year two, in Philadelphia. They had that 6-10 season. Andy Reid was never a coordinator in the NFL. Tight ends coach, quarterback coach. And, you know, they hired, I don't know if you guys saw that tweet yesterday from that guy in Philadelphia who was bragging about all the great moves that he made, Joe Banner. And I hired Andy Reid when nobody knew who Andy Reid was. Good for you, pal. That's fantastic.
Yeah, cool.
You know, like, give me all your accolades there. But you just have to make sure you're hiring the right guy. And for the Chicago Bears to be in this 2-3 year cycle of coordinator, fire, coordinator, fire, coordinator, fire, I don't give the Chicago Bears the benefit of the doubt. They haven't earned it.
On the come. On the come.
Three times on a Tuesday.
On the come.
In less than a minute, you're a hero. Bob, who do you have on the come?
Well, this week for me, it is Ryan Day.
No, you don't say.
70-10 as the head Buckeye.
It's pretty good.
And then I read a poll this morning from a radio station in Cleveland. Are you over the Michigan loss yet?
They are now.
Who's still harboring that?
I'm telling you,
won the national championship. And in my opinion,
no one's harboring that.
What?
No one's Ann Arboring that?
No one's Ann Arboring that. Yeah. But
I'll see my way out.
For me, I look at this run that they just made as the greatest postseason run of the last 25 years in any sport. With the teams that they beat, Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, and Notre Dame,
Which new system? So hard to kind of put that against
the
past.
No, I'm talking any sport in general, man. Like, you look at an NCAA tournament. Wow. You know, you beat a sister from the poor here. The playoffs, so you win 34-0 over a bad 7 seed.
14 was pretty nice, but I guess that's more than 10 years. Or I guess 20 years.
No, it was. But you beat the A's, then you beat the number Anaheim one team in baseball. Was Anaheim the number one team in baseball that year?
They were. They had the best record.
But you didn't win the championship.
No, you didn't. That's
so
fair.
Yeah. You got to win the championship.
Chiefs last year would probably be up there, too.
Chiefs, going on the road last year is pretty darn impressive. But this Ohio State team, man, four straight games of brand name opponents after losing to Michigan, not just beating them,
spanking,
destroying, absolutely destroying the competition. It's one of the most unbelievable postseason runs in all of
sport.
And
they smashed Oregon, too, didn't they?
Yes. Oh, yeah. They smashed everybody.
And Oregon was number one all year.
Right.
Yeah, Tennessee had a top five defense, couldn't stop Ohio State at all.
Remember when Oregon beat Ohio State earlier in the year, just like Buffalo beat us earlier in the year?
Yeah.
So Ryan Day, like that. On the come.
For me, I mean, Caleb Williams, we'll go back to the Ben Johnson hire. I'm big on the Ben Johnson hire. I agree with Bob. I wouldn't have been mad at about a Pete Carroll or an established coach, but you don't know till you know. You talk about track record. Track record for what he's gotten to control, it's been the best in the league. He's top five in yards per game, top five in points per game for those 3 years as OC. He was first in both those categories this season. That defense has actually been pretty good for the last five or six seasons. They had Khalil Mack, and even since then, they've got a good young secondary, Jaquan Brisker, and a couple of other dogs out there. The defense is actually pretty good. The offense is what needs to turn the tide. I think Caleb Williams can do that, or Ben Johnson can do that, and for that reason, Caleb Williams on the come.
Mm. Like that. I'm going to go with the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten's on the come. I think Ohio State's going to repeat. In fact, I bet they have the odds on favorite to win the national championship next year. Wide receiver U. They got a couple of kids that are not even known yet that are getting ready to be on that roster. They have a freshman right now that's a stud that's going to be the number one wide receiver for the next 2 years in college football. Why would you go pro unless you continue to just rack in NIL deals, but probably will go pro in a couple of years. They have a chance to win three consecutive national championships as a conference. The SEC, before Michigan won last year, won four straight. There was a couple in there sandwiched between Clemson and then Ohio State won one as well. Ohio State, I think, probably has the best chances to repeat next year. Ryan Day now has that monkey off his back of, can he do it? And as Bob had mentioned earlier, this run right here, if that doesn't give you confidence, right? Like, that's like, I'm going to lose weight. And all of a sudden, you look in the mirror and you're down 25 pounds. You're like, okay, I can keep going. Now I'm starting to feel it. Now I'm starting to see results. Yeah. I'm starting to get more involved in this. Ryan Day has that team now on his back. Now they believe, whereas they may not have believed. Thank you, Michigan, for awakening a gigantic sleeping giant. And it could be three in a row for the Big Ten. And we will have this conversation, right? Penn State. Oregon, Ohio State. I don't know what that dude that gets Googled in Indiana is going to do after that. But you have teams in the Big Ten that can compete with teams in the SEC.
Did you see what happened to Indiana yesterday?
I did not.
They cut 25% of their athletic department staff. After all this money coming in and going to the college football playoff, they cut 25% of their athletic department staff yesterday.
That is not a good look.
Damn.
That is not a good look. A guy that used to play in the NFL in a dome. Had one of the most egregious takes I've ever heard in my entire life. We'll get to that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your own Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it. Fast show today. Already almost 9 o'clock.
No doubt. Wow.
I don't know. I just looked at the clock. It's 8:47. Somebody's like, dude, I just got my car and went to work. Well, sorry, we work different shifts.
Yeah.
What is the temperature outside? Still negatives?
I have no idea anymore. It looks like about negative 35 out there.
Yeah, it looks like a blanket, a TV, and blackout curtains for about 2.5 hours. By the way, our friend Jayhawk for Life on Twitter says, Caitlin Clark is a bandwagon Chiefs fan. Has Mad Dog seen this? It's a picture when people used to actually have cameras.
That's right.
And the entire family's wearing Chiefs clothes.
That's correct.
Chiefs probably, I don't know, I'm going to guess 7, 6?
I sent that to the folks over at the Four Letter Network to pass that along to Mr. Russo.
I'm tired of the Chiefs, and I'm tired of his girlfriend.
I'm tired of Caitlin Clark.
I'm chiefed out.
What?
I want to be chiefed out, man.
You're talking about Russo?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm sick of Kansas City.
I like that, too.
I'm sick of Kansas City.
Boy, I'm sick of Kansas City. Mm-hmm.
I think people are sick of you.
Beat them.
You're on
pretty simple.
You're on borrowed time for TV, Russo.
Will America like have a parade for Buffalo if they beat the Chiefs, like across I-70, started on the East Coast to just go straight west? Like, is that what's going to happen?
Legitimately,
if Buffalo,
yes.
Wins this thing. It was funny looking back at the maps of 2019 when the Chiefs were playing the Patriots and the whole country was red. Everybody's rooting for the Chiefs. Complete opposite right now. Everybody's rooting for Buffalo in this game, and everybody's going to be sad on Sunday night.
I want that same energy towards the Dodgers. Like, Russo, you should be sick of the Dodgers.
And he's a Giants fan,
He's a baseball guy.
Yeah,
like,
well,
have that same energy towards the Dodgers.
Speaking of that, did you see ball washer, bow tie wearing Rosenthal's headline today?
What'd he say?
Nobody should be mad at the Dodgers. More teams should do what the Dodgers are doing.
Okay, we can't do that.
Like, do you understand the game?
I did
like,
see.
Like, these insiders, man, they are just ball washers for the league. It's unbelievable.
Is that serious?
Yes.
Yes.
Man.
Did you see it?
It's a serious. It's a serious, CR. It's a serious.
That's insane.
I did see Colin Cowherd had a good point about baseball. That, of course, he's L.A. bias.
Right.
And he said that the way the Dodgers are paying players is the way that the future is in baseball.
Should be.
Where you just, you know, hey, here's your money, but you don't have to get it all right now. We'll just pay you in advance and do it that way.
Yeah, so here's the headline. The Dodgers are baseball's latest evil empire, but all teams should compete with the same zeal.
Zeal?
Jeez.
Like, yeah, of Zoltan. Course. Like this, but this isn't the NFL. Like, teams can't do that. You talk to any executive on any, like, and I've heard over the years, even the Yankees are tired of this kind of stuff. Like, they don't want to be spending this money. They want to be cheap, but they can't because they're the Yankees, right? So they've got to find a way to spend to keep up with everybody because they have the pressure of their fans. Like, the Dodgers don't have any pressure from their fans. Most people in LA are doing other things. They're not paying attention. They show up in the third inning, they leave in the seventh. I mean, like, it's not like you've got the pressure of the LA fan base saying you've got to do this. But like, seriously, when they sell the team, who's going to buy that team? You're going to inherit the team plus another like $1.9 billion in debt. Like, yeah, I agree. It's a great way to do things, but that bill is eventually going to come due.
This was former quarterback and Super Bowl champion Kurt Warner with his take on playoff atmospheres of where you play. I just let you listen to it.
And I want the best team to win, not the best team in those conditions. And I get it. It's what everybody says. It's football weather. This is what it is. But here's the problem that I have. And it doesn't necessarily apply to these two teams. But being a guy that played in a dome, being a guy that played in Arizona, I have no way to get ready for those conditions. And so you can say all you want about home field advantage and that's why you play. Well, no, because the Patriots can come to Arizona and there's no difference other than we have our fans, obviously, but they can play in my weather. I can't play in their weather because I can't get used to it. There's nothing you can do to get used to cold weather in a situation. So to me, I'm just like, I want the best. I want to be able to be my best. I want to play against their best, and I want the best to advance. And so for me, last night, I mean, I played in that weather before. I grew up in Iowa, so I played in all that stuff. You know, and it's just like Bass kicking that ball. I'm sure when he kicked it, he's like, oh, that's money. That's right down the middle. No, shoot. All of a sudden, the wind takes it and it goes to the left. And you say to yourself, what was he supposed to do there? I mean, it's easy to say, well, aim a little bit further because you know the wind's going to pick. And I don't want that stuff to dictate who wins these games and who ultimately, you know, creates history and wins championships, you know, especially like you get to the playoffs. I just want to see the best team advance in the playoffs, and to me, the best team is the team that has the opportunity to play their best football.
So that's Kurt Warner saying it's unfair to play in cold weather climates if you're not from a cold weather climate. Like, what happened? Are balls fall off? what are we doing here? Like, dude, that's like history. Like, that's part of the sport. That's what that's what football is. Sometimes you got to go to, you know, New York and play in the cold. Sometimes you got to play the Chiefs at Arrowhead when you're from Miami. If you don't want to do that, win more games in the regular season and dictate the narrative in your own field. You all right over there, my guy? Kurt Warner. I didn't have the opportunity. The Patriots could come to Arizona. They don't have to prepare for that. It's inside. I want the best team to win for being the best team. I don't know what the hell you mean. Welcome to the sport of the NFL.
I mean, I don't even know what to say with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's football. The elements have always been part of the game. Stop trying to push a narrative that it's unfair. Like, I'm so tired of everything needs to be fair in this society. It's not. We're a meritocracy.
Football's an outdoor sport.
Football has always been an outdoor sport. And again, if you want those games in your building and want to have that advantage, because I'm sure Buffalo never wants to play in the cold.
Didn't Bass, somebody on the text line said, didn't Bass mix that field goal at his own
yeah,
place?
He like, did. He did. Yeah. I saw one is Mark Andrews, the Bass of last year. And you can make the case that he is, or who catches better, Aaron Judge or Mark Andrews, right? But I mean, what are we doing here? Why do we always have to go back to stuff like this and say it's not fair? Yeah, life isn't fair, Kurt. You were bagging groceries at Hy-Vee, and Dick Vermeil gave you an opportunity, and you took advantage of that. You, of all people, should never play the it's not fair card, because you were dealt arguably the biggest it's not fair card and took that and became a Hall of Fame MVP quarterback in this league and never complained about anything over the course of your career. And now as we get older, we tend to complain about things and all this kind of stuff, you know, because you get older. But I'm listening to that from Kurt Warner, and I'm like, come on, Kurt, man, you're better than that. You're better than the guy who's going to complain that it's too cold, that it's an unfair advantage have these teams play at home venues.
Played Arena League football, played for the Rams, and that garbage dome. I think I'd rather play outside than ever play in that thing.
Yep.
Played in Arizona.
Right.
In fact, the worst he ever was when he played for the Giants.
Played for the Giants outside. Yeah. But hey, it is what it is. I mean, like, I can't get with that. Like, that's just a weak take, and it just fuels the fire of the NFL.
It's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah. It fuels the fire of maybe the NFL going, well, maybe we should move these games. Like, remember a couple of years ago when we had the DeMar Hamlin thing and they talked about moving the championship games and all that kind of stuff? And thank goodness it didn't end up happening where we did that. These championship games are rewards for the fans and rewards to watch our team play before they head off to the Super Bowl, which is a neutral site environment, which is the only sport to have a neutral site championship game of the Big Four.
Right.
So you can't continue to take games away and put them in domes and make these pristine conditions when football has always been about the elements. And if you want the games in your building, win more in the regular season. I just like the stupid pills are flowing this week, man.
The two things I would say that debunk this argument: out of the four teams remaining, how many of them play in a dome?
None.
Okay, so maybe domes are the problem for the teams. And if they want the best team to win in the biggest game, why did the Super Bowl always get played in Miami, Arizona, New Orleans, Vegas? Dome, nice weather. They don't want weather to change the outcome of the Super Bowl,
right,
which is the best game at the time against the two best teams.
And you know what?
So
I don't have a problem with that.
So you get what you're asking about. I'm just saying, here's the deal. The regular season, football is an outdoor sport. The teams that play in the dome are always the teams that go into the season where it's like, oh, I don't know if they can get there. They got to go play at Kansas City. They got to go play in Denver. They got to go play in Buffalo. They got to go play in New England. They got to go, you know, whatever it is. Maybe don't build a dome. Like the Buffalo Bills, right? Always give Buffalo fans and their city a bunch of crap when it snows. Like, I don't know. They got to shovel their own seats. They're getting ready to build a brand new stadium. You know what they're not doing?
Doming
building
it.
A dome.
That's right.
Get lost, Warner.
I mean, like,
what is that?
God.
Ugh.
And it's only Tuesday. Like, these are Monday highlights.
That's right.
Wait till the week moves on, and you mentioned that Chiefs derangement syndrome that the world is talking about. Wait till that continues to set in as the week gets longer, and Emmanuel Acho has an opportunity to talk.
Still yet to hear back from him. Don't think I will. Coming up on the other side, start, bench, cut. Bob, Mac, Dusty, in that order, how do you want to do it? I'm just kidding. Don't hurt my feelings. Or do. I don't really care. 96.5 The Fan, you're on Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.